It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The question that I think a lot of people want to know is, you know, you in a post-Tom Brady world, Coach, how has that changed already the way that you do look at a season?
We've played it other times, without Tom. It was the 09 season after he was injured, played 15 games with Castle, went 11-5, or, heading into the 16 season with Jimmy and then Jacoby and Tom coming back after the four-game suspension. So, there have been other points in time where we've dealt with that. We'll do what we always do is try to, prepare the team the best that we can, utilize our players and the skills that they have and put ourselves in the best position we can to, to be competitive and win. And so that's what we always do, and we'll continue to do that.
All right, welcome into the program, everybody. It's an agenda-free Friday. Agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. We give opening takes while you call us. As soon as the call screen and the lines will be wiped down and disinfected, they'll be open to you at 617-779-0985. But we always start with opening takes, and Murray wanted to weigh in. Hi, Maz, by the way.
Good, you?
Oh, Peachy, thank you so much. Murray, who's standing by, wanted to weigh in on that comment by Bill Belichick last night with Rich Eisen as the NFL released and revealed their schedule for 2020. Murray, what was your take there?
Well, I thought that clip in particular was very telling and very petty because, as we all know, Bill Belichick rarely, if ever, answers questions in depth. And in this instance, he mentioned both the fact that Brady missed a season to injury and he was suspended, and they were successful without him. If he was a plush toy bear from the 80s, Bill Belichick would be Petty Ruxpin, because that was petty, petty, petty. This offseason of Bill Belichick's big middle finger just continues. At the draft, you both suspected how the selections he made was, for those of us, a not-so-subtle FU, for those that have doubted his second-round draft picks, anyone who's looked at the last three drafts that the Patriots have had and mocked him and those picks. And with Brady, it began with yet another weak offer that carried over to the icy phone call where he wouldn't budge and nothing was accomplished. And now here in this clip where he basically says to Rich Eisen and the world, I don't need him to win. We'll be just fine. We'll be just fine. I don't need Tom. I've done it before. I've done it while I've been here. You doubters, go F yourselves. Middle fingers in the air. I don't need him. We'll be just fine.
And you're offended by it?
No, at this point, no. I'm glad that they're going their separate ways, and I'm interested to see how this season is going to play out. I'm into Stidham, but they're both being kind of petty bitches about the whole thing. Brady certainly has. He was in the interview with Stern. He's taking not so subtle shots. I wish he would be a little bit more open with it, because you know how he really feels. I think we all know how he feels. He's mad at Bill. He's pissed at Bill. I think he wanted to retire a Patriot. It just wasn't going to work out. And Bill, I think Bill for a few years now has been like, doesn't matter, I can win with anybody. And that, to me, was a not-so-subtle shot. I found it petty, but I'm not like mad about it. I'm ready to see both parties move on and see how successful they'll be.
Not only are you not annoyed by it, are you perhaps, Murray, entertained? Are you entertained by the undercurrent that continues to exist between those two?
Yeah, I am. I am. And I think that, and this is why one of the reasons I'm so interested in it and why I wanted them to go their separate ways is I really believe, at least for this season, you're going to get the best out of both of them. I think Brady's going to play out of his mind. You know, we've already, you were mocking that practice video yesterday where he wasn't doing that little shuttle drill correctly. But either way, like, he's motivated. You know Bill is. So I think it's going to bring out the best of both Brady and Belichick.
Maz, your opening take.
I would like to start with the Patriots schedule, which was released last night. And so, you know, if you were looking to diet a little better, you know, you're a Patriots fan, you're dining, you know what you got last night? Pork sausage. That's what you got. Pork City. Holy crap, what a schedule. Absolutely freaking brutal, if you ask me. Now, look, Miami week one, fine. Good. I thought that was a good start. Then after that, your first two road games are at Seattle, at Kansas City. Both losses. I don't think there's any way they win all three of those home games they play before the bye. And do you realize the Patriots do not play consecutive home games in consecutive weeks? Home games in consecutive weeks until week 16 and 17? They do not play home games in consecutive weeks until the very end
of the year.
I'm not done.
Go ahead.
They play six road games in a stretch of eight games in the middle of the year, including L.A., Miami, three in a row right before those two home games at the end of the year. I think the middle of their schedule in particular is death. To me, it's all about the road this year for this Patriots team. They'll do okay at home. They're not going to go 7-1 or 8-0 at home like they have in past years, but the road schedule, starting the way it is and then hitting that stretch in the middle, death. Pork sausage. That's what it is. Pork City.
So I disagree with you. I think it was a pretty, all things considered, it could have been much worse. And I'm sorry to interrupt there. You're not supposed to do it during opening takes. But I just wanted to, you know, you should check, Maz, across the league and find out how many long homestands there are. I think for the most part, well, I know every team I checked, the first 4 weeks go home, road, or road, home, road, home. And I think because there is some sneaky condensability in the schedule that I don't think you're going to find very many long road trips or very many long homestands. So is there a team out there that has three straight home games in a row at some point? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they do, Maz. So, I mean, before you say that that's a real disadvantage for the Patriots, you know, let's check the rest of the league. I'm not sure how many there are out there.
Okay, but again, I'm just telling you that they don't play home games in consecutive weeks. In consecutive weeks until week 16 and 17. Now, look, admittedly, and I'm being honest here, I'm fudging that a little because they have Denver at home, then the bye, then San Francisco at home. But those aren't consecutive weeks, and I don't love the bye in week 5 either. Typically, the Patriots get a later bye than that. And then that stretch in the middle, ooh, that is brutal. Six road games in 8 weeks, including three road games in a row. They're probably a short week in L.A., so they're going to stay in L.A. and play two games in what amounts to 5 days, or really 4 days if you go by the hours. I think it's a killer, and I would have loved to have seen them open with Miami, then the Jets, you know, then Arizona, something a little softer at the beginning, and I don't think it's soft at the beginning either. The schedule was hard, but I think they are on the road for a long stretch there in the middle, and I think they're going to have a hard time.
I think the schedule broke in their favor. I do. If I'm going to play at Seattle and at Kansas City, and by the way, I have them both of those as losses anyway, but if I'm going to play those two teams, I want it earlier in the year when there's probably going to be no fans in the stands. You know what a difference that is, playing in Kansas City, an empty Arrowhead versus a full Arrowhead? Same with Seattle. You know what a difference that is?
Oh, yeah. I mean, those are two of the most, if not the most difficult places to play for any team in the NFL. And if they don't have fans, it's moot.
And they're all because of crowd noise.
Right.
Those aren't, you know, they aren't hard because of the weather, like, say, Miami or Denver, you know, the conditions, the air. It's all crowd noise. Those are two crowd noise venues. You're going to play them early in the year, and my guess is, sitting here today, you're not going to have fans there. Or if you are, they're going to be a quarter fill, a third fill. And so I think you have a chance to play those places in empty buildings, Maz. I can see you already smirking.
Yeah, because those teams are better than them. I don't care if you play them on the moon. Pork tenderloin. That's what this thing is, man. Pork sausage.
I disagree.
That's what you get.
Okay, so I'm telling you why it's not pork sausage. You get Seattle and KC early when the stadiums might be empty. You get that Thursday game. Now, usually they play at home Thursdays, right? Didn't we have the crazy stat where they've been home like 17 of 18 Thursdays? Like,
right.
So you're on the road this year on Thursday. But, however, it's don't you think the way they worked it there with that Thursday night game in L.A. after the Sunday game in L.A. is a little different? It's like it's sort of a halfway thing. Yes, you're on the road Thursday night, but it's not like you've got to fly out on Wednesday and wake up there. You know, it's like
a little bit of a break there.
It's a little bit of a break there. It's a little bit of a break. So that Thursday night game, while it's on the road, it's in the same city you're in, and you're not flying on the Thursday, you know, the Wednesday before the game. And I think that mitigates it a little bit. I thought that was sort of a break. They finished the season again at home. Last two games, you say there's only two consecutive home games, but once again they're at home. They get that every year. That break continues.
Yeah, they're going to be out of it by then, by the time they get to that point.
So I don't think so. I look at the schedule, Maz. I look at their opponents, and you know what I say? I think there's a realistic path to 10-6, even with Brian Hoyer as your quarterback. And
you're on crack.
Do you want it? Do you want the realist? You tell me if anything I'm about to give you is unrealistic.
Okay.
So there are four elements to my realistic path to 10-6. This is my opening take. There is a realistic path to 10-6. There's four chapters to it. And of the four chapters, I think there's only one that I might be stretching. Okay. And I'll save that for last. So here you go. Here's element number one.
I'm all ears.
Can you clean up the home games that you have versus Oakland, Denver, and Arizona? Can you sweep those? Can you win all three?
Yes.
Sure, but they won't.
That's not what I'm asking.
Yes, they can. Yes,
that's plausible. Yes.
Is it realistic to expect them to beat Oakland and Denver in the first 5 weeks of the year, and then Arizona, who I said before, I think might be good, and Kyler Murray's my pick to win MVP, and like they might be that breakout team this year. That's going to be November 29th. West Coast to East Coast, 32 degrees, raining sideways. I'm sorry. Okay, so clean up the home games. Win those games you've got to win. Oakland.
It's a great spot for them to get Arizona, and it's questionable quarterbacking for the Raiders and the Broncos.
Okay, Oakland, Denver, Arizona. Win those home games. Okay. Can you split the L.A. trip? Can you split the L.A. trip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you go out there and get one of those two?
Yeah.
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 The Chargers and the Rams, one of those two are going to be dog food. Hard to predict which is which, but I'm telling you right here, one's going to blow.
Chargers are going to blow.
And can you go out there and split that road trip? Can you get one out in L.A.?
Yeah, you should be able to.
So there's four. Can you get one win, one, out of home San Francisco out of the bye, home Baltimore Sunday night football at Houston? Just one. Can you give me one of those? You can't see them winning one of those.
There.
Oh, stop it.
I don't know about that one. Those are three really hard games.
Give me one of those. Go 1-2 in those three games.
Oh, fine. I'll play your stupid game. Go. No. Yeah, fine.
Okay. So now we're at five. Then you have to go 5-1 in the division.
Yeah.
No shot.
That's the only one I think I would say that is a little bit of a stretch, but I'm sorry. You should beat all three of those teams at home. You should beat all three of those teams at home, especially week 16 and 17. Again, you should beat all three of those teams at home. Now can I win two out of three on the road and go 5-1 in the division? There's your path to 10-6. 5-1 in the division. Clean up the easy home games against Oakland, Denver, and Arizona. Split the L.A. trip, and then just give me one. Give me one out of San Francisco home out of the bye, Baltimore Sunday night football at Houston. Give me one of those three, and there's your 10-6. And I'm about to up my prediction to 10-6 because I think that's a doable path. What stands out to me is the key is, once again, the division. Clean up on these bums. They're still bums. They're not there yet. They're maybe emerging, maybe not. Maybe there's a couple guys in the division who can coach, you don't know. Maybe there's a couple quarterbacks in the division you don't know yet. Take care of the division like you always have. Take care of the division like you always have. If you go 5-1 in the division, then to get to 10 wins, you win those easy home games, Oakland, Denver, Arizona. Just split the L.A. trip and then give me one. Give me one out of San Francisco, Baltimore, and Houston. And notice I didn't even mention at KC or at Seattle. And if you're playing in empty buildings, maybe those are on the board. So then, you know what? Expand my that fourth chapter. Just give me one win. One win out of home San Fran, home Baltimore, at Houston, at Seattle, at Kansas City. Can I get one win out of those five? Can I get one win out of those five? There's your path to 10 wins, Maz.
Oh, listen, I'm glad you laid the path out for me. It says I'm going to get on my magic carpet and ride to fairyland. I'm telling you, get ready for the sausage. That's what you're going to get, the poker sausage.
It wasn't so bad. It wasn't so bad. What do you folks think? To your phones on an agenda-free Friday right after these words.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
It's not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, schedule day. Oh, schedule day. Where fans get to pick wins and losses.
Hey. Hey, can you hear me? Am I coming through? Hello? You see the schedule?
Yeah, I can hear you, but I can't see you, bro. I hate this f***ing FaceTime Zoom bull.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. You can hear me, though, right? You see the Pat schedule? Hello?
Yeah, I got it here on my laptop.
What do you think? It looks wicked hard. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm prepared for life without Brady. But they still got 5 primetime games.
Just goes to show you, even without the GOAT, the NFL still needs us. And Goodell knows we put asses in seats. Or maybe every other seat.
Okay, week 1, hosting the Miami Dolphins.
You even think we'll play that game, bro? Or that we'll even get to go?
Yeah, they're gonna play. Coronavirus is over after Memorial Day. This quarantine.
Win.
Week 2, Sunday night in Seattle against the Seahawks.
Remember how good those games were, bro? And the Super Bowl and Butler? Tom should still be here. I want things to back to how they were. I hate this. I'm not ready to move on. Loss.
Week 3, back home against the Raiders.
Where are they now? Are they still in Oakland? Who's their quarterback?
Doesn't matter where they are or who the hell they got. The Raiders suck.
Win.
Week 4 at Kansas City against the Chiefs.
That's the same week of the Monday Night Massacre in 2014. 41-14. People thought it was over. I hate the Chiefs. Loss.
Denver has to come here for week 5. You know, how come when Brady was here, the Pats always had to go to Denver? Now that he's gone, they gotta come here.
Because of Goodell. You know it's Goodell, that rat snake.
Win. Week 6. This is f***ing bullshit. An early bye.
Oh, come on. A bye in October? You gotta be kidding me. A free weekend in October means only one f***ing thing. Apple picking.
So 3-2 at the bye. 3-2 at the bye. On your way. That warms my heart to hear that. Warms my heart. And after seeing this schedule, I think there's a realistic path to 10-6, no matter who your quarterback is. What do you folks think? To your calls on an agenda-free Friday, Dave in Plymouth. Go ahead. David?
Your question, Tampa has three home games, not consecutive. They got two home games, then the bye, then another home game. And the three games are against, get this, the Chiefs, the Rams, and the Vikings.
Okay, but by that logic, the Patriots do have back-to-back home games because they've got two wrapped around a bye.
Right, I know. But you asked if any team had more than two. And technically, and I get what Maz is saying about, well, I don't count the bye. But
well, then
yeah,
you can't count
travel.
The three. Like, if you're not counting the bye in between for the Patriots, and don't count the bye in between for the Buccaneers. I'm just telling you, I think the schedule's formatted, so there's not a lot of long homestands or long road trips. I don't think many teams have them.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. And I like the L.A. Miami thing. I don't think that's a problem because, one, they're going to get 10 days off before they go to Miami because of that mini bye, right, after the Thursday night game. And, two, they're playing in a warm-weather city in L.A. They're going from warm weather to warm weather instead of playing a December game up here and then having to travel down there.
Exactly.
So I think that's, you know, that's a little bit of a break. It's not great, but it's a little bit of a break. So I don't mind.
And, Maz, I'm sorry. You say L.A., Miami, three on the road. It's not I'd rather do it the way they've done it, where the two L.A. games are back-to-back in 5 days, and you're not traveling for the Thursday night, really, you know, sort of a half measure there. And then Miami, you've been home for 9 days. So, like, I don't think that's as bad as you're making it sound.
Yeah, so look, the L.A. thing is a little bit of a break. I'm just telling you, it's three road games in a row and six out of eight. And I don't think this team has the experience, particularly a quarterback, to handle that kind of stretch well. That, to me, is the biggest part of it. Now, look, you raise a good point about the crowd factor. There may not be people in the stands. So some of the teams that aren't better than them necessarily on paper might not beat them in those games. Maybe the home road thing this year is going to be different. Those games against the Rams and Chargers in particular might not be real home games because there's not going to be anybody in the stands. But typically, six out of eight on the road for a team with a young quarterback, bad news.
No, so see, the crowd, see, I don't think L.A. was going to be a factor with the crowd anyway. They're all going to be sitting there, you know, playing with their cell phones and filing their nails. L.A., for crying out loud. KC, Seattle, that's a big difference. And, yes, you'll lose crowd noise at home, but it's one of the quietest buildings in the league. You're really not losing much there. You don't really have much of a crowd advantage here in Foxborough anyway. So I just think that plays to the Patriots' advantage. Steven?
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like the six out of eight.
Steven Yarmouth. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, so you guys claim to be the show about consistency, and this is more for Maz anyway, but if Stidham, is he going to be held to the same level as Garoppolo? So, like, if he plays a good quarter against the Dolphins and breaks his shoulder, are we going to anoint him? Or if he starts 8-2 and then blows his knee out, are we going to talk about, well, he's 8-2 as a starter? Or he goes 5 of 7 in the title game with 79 yards and hands off the entire time.
Hey,
is
Steve,
is that going to make him the guy?
Let me stop you. I don't like your tone.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, sure. Yeah, why would I be rooting against Stidham?
The reason, but oh, by the way, fans get this all wrong. I wasn't a Garoppolo guy because he had a good quarter against Miami, you and your a-hole tone.
That's how it looks.
No, I was a Garoppolo guy because he was Bill's guy. Bill loved him. So I sort of trusted in that. That's the whole argument. We want a Garoppolo here because Bill believed in him. So why don't you take your tone to Nantucket and give that to Belichick? Because he's the one that really liked him, and it wasn't based on one quarter against Miami. It was based on everything he had seen inside the building for 2+ years. And you know what, caller and Murray? Bill was right. He would have won with that guy.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, I like Garoppolo based on how it looked. Again, that Miami game, and he played well in Arizona, too. And I think he's a good quarterback. But I will tell you, I don't know what that has to do with Stidham. So what, I'm going to dump on Stidham because he's not Garoppolo? Is that the idea?
No, he's saying if he gets off to a hot start, are you going to anoint him?
Depends how it looks. I mean, I think with Garoppolo, their offense, now again, the difference is that Garoppolo played in year three. So I don't know if it's reasonable to expect out of Stidham in year two what Garoppolo delivered in year three. That was a big flash with Garoppolo, and it gave us some indication, really, of what they had there. With Stidham, the process might be a little bit more deliberate. If anything, I think you're going to have to give him a little more patience.
Not everything.
That sounded like a long-winded no to me. You're never going to like him.
Not everything breaks the same, but if he looks good and Bill invests in him, yeah, I'll believe in him. Yep. Yes, I will. And so will you, by the way. Here's Tara in the car. Go ahead, Tara.
Hi, I just have a question. You think that they're going to be able to go 5-1 in the division this year?
I think it's possible. Yeah, Tara, I do.
No.
Do you? I don't. Do you think that they're a better football team this season than they were last season?
I think they'll be roughly the same.
Do you think the rest of the teams in the division have gotten better or gotten worse since last season?
I'm not convinced they've gotten better, Tara. I think they might be the same.
But they couldn't even beat Miami when the bye was on the line last year.
I understand. They were limping to the finish line. They were in a bad way at the end of the year. And I'm hoping there's a different vibe with the team, that they're not, you know, that they're not going to lose to Miami at home in consecutive years. I don't know. I mean, it's not all created equal. So I think the division has a chance to be better, for sure. And I think when I say the same, I think you've gotten worse, of course, on the roster. But how much worse? You were 12-4 last year. Can you make that difference? Can it all net out to be a two-game difference? I think there's a shot. I think there's a shot you can be a better team by the end of this year than you were at the end of last year. But by the end of last year, you were not a good team. So, like, can you be better than that? Can you be better than the team that played the way it played against Miami in Week 17? Yes, I think you can be. And I think the quarterback play can be better, too. Brady sucked in that game. So can you be a better team than you were Week 17 against Miami and then in that Tennessee game? When Brady was not good, the team was not good. Can you be better than that team? Yeah, I think you can be.
I mean, to me, how they play at the end of the year is probably the most important thing from this whole season. To me, 4-2 in the division is best case. I think there's virtually no shot of going 5-1, let alone 6-0. And I think you're leaning 3-3, frankly, because I put all those teams really in a pile. Buffalo, the Patriots, Miami, I don't think there's much that separates them.
Okay, and so you mean the coaching doesn't separate him?
Well, Bill does, but again, I think the Bills have better players and they have a good coach. I like what Flores is doing in Miami, and they beat you last year up here when you had a bye on the line. So I think that those games now are much tighter, and I just think the gap between the Patriots and the division isn't what it was in the past. The division still blows relative to all the other divisions in the league, so the Patriots have some good fortune there. But 3-3, 4-2, I think that's what you're looking at.
Okay, so we continue with your thoughts on this all day long. It's Agenda Free Friday. We're going to do our bi-weekly check-in. Does that mean twice a week, or does that mean once every other week?
Basically, it could mean either, actually.
Bi-monthly check-in with our doctor, with our good doctor, Paul Sacks at the Bring, and we'll do it after Murray's update.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
All right, let's do this. We get a check-in every couple of weeks here during the pandemic with our expert, Dr. Paul Sacks of Brigham of Women's Hospital. He joins us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Dr. Sacks, how you doing? Thanks again for taking the time.
I'm doing okay. Thanks for inviting me.
Okay, so I think our first chat was either 4 or 6 weeks ago. I can't remember. It all blends together. But either way, 4 to 6 weeks later, how are we doing? What have we learned?
Well, I think the primary reason we ended into this phase was to protect our healthcare systems. And I want to say, very fortunately, we've done a really nice job, and that the city of Boston responded beautifully. We anticipated there were going to be a big increase in cases. There was a big increase in cases. We sort of set aside all our other priorities at the hospitals, and we never were overwhelmed the way they were in some other places. So that's the excellent news. The difficulty, of course, is now that we're on the downslope of hospitalizations, we have to prepare for the future and prepare for a future that's very different.
So how come the numbers are still the numbers don't feel great? It doesn't feel like there's been, you know, dramatic improvement.
Well, you know, in fact, when you look at it from the perspective of new diagnoses, remember that a lot of the new diagnoses are coming because our testing capacity has increased and we've released some of the barriers to testing that were there before. So that's one reason why the new case numbers still seem so high. But when you look at the people who are sickest with COVID-19, that is the people who are hospitalized with it. And at least in the Boston metropolitan area, the hospitalization numbers are trending downward almost everywhere, and that is encouraging. So I've said this before. I'm optimistic by nature. By seeing that, we know that we're past really the worst of it, at least during this phase.
So, Dr. Sachs, the next milestone date obviously is May 18th. I mean, that is the tentative schedule for us to reopen. Are we ready for that? Is it a good idea or a bad idea?
So to some degree, it's going to have to happen, and we have to start sort of testing the reopening of society slowly and carefully. There are certain things that are clearly at higher risk than others, and I really want to emphasize this because as the weather gets better, although you never believe it for this weekend, but as the weather gets better, people are going to be tempted to go outside more. And overall, I want to give the message that that's a good thing. Outdoor activities are a good thing for respiratory viruses. People don't need to stay cooped up at home if the weather is good. What we need to avoid is crowding. And crowding can take place both inside, which is the most dangerous, or outside. But going outside is very, very good for prevention of respiratory infections. And so that's the next step is going to coincide with the weather getting better in this city eventually. And I think that we'll have to see how that goes.
All right, doctor, when I asked before, you know, what have we learned? So specifically, have we narrowed down how it's primarily spread? Were there some things we were, you know, focused on early that we can be less worried about, or the things we should be more worried about? And can I just give you one specific, and that is how long the virus survives on surfaces? And I still feel like when I hear the CDC guideline, it's still from anywhere from a couple of hours to a couple of days. And to me, that doesn't feel very helpful. You know, so, I mean, have we been able to narrow down anything like that?
Well, one way that we learn about how the virus is spread is by looking at the so-called case clusters, where you see a large number of people who get infected in a very short period of time. And they predominantly involve household contacts or contacts within events that have been labeled super spreaders. And almost always these have been crowded indoor activities with relatively poor ventilation. There have not been any major outbreaks or clusters linked to contaminated surfaces, for example. Now, it doesn't mean that we should stop our vigilance about hand washing, but it does mean that we can be a little less paranoid about, for example, you know, making sure that all the packages are washed off before we open them. I mean, I think that's probably not necessary. What is necessary is that after you open a package, you wash your hands. And I think if we do the things that we know really work, then we can avoid getting this.
Let me ask you another one. If someone gets an antibody test to find out whether they've had it in the past, or, you know, an indication that they've had it in the past, do you want that to come back negative or positive? I'll just say, you know, personally, I had one. I had an antibody test, and it came back negative. You didn't have it, Felger. And I'm like, oh, great, we. And then I said, actually, don't I have wanted it? Because that means I had it. It wasn't that bad. I passed it. Maybe I have some immunity built up now. Like, what are you rooting for on that antibody test, positive or negative?
So, very good question. One thing is that I want to stress is that, you know, the first phase of testing was all about this nasopharyngeal swab, the PCR test, and that was to detect active infection. the next phase of testing is testing for antibodies. So if March was about ramping up the PCR test, April and May is going to be about ramping up the serology test. But the difference is that the serology tests have a very wide range of accuracy, and this early group of tests that came out were notoriously inaccurate. So I'd be very cautious about interpreting any test right now as being definitive. One thing that is encouraging was that at the beginning of this week, the FDA got back involved with the oversight of the quality of antibody testing. And so I strongly believe that the antibody tests that are going to be increasingly used will be more accurate. And some of these kind of Wild West antibody tests that were offered widely initially will be dropped.
Okay, but to that question, if we find out that there's been more positives than we believed, isn't there good news in that?
There is good news because most of us think that there is going to be at least some degree of protective immunity from having a positive test. That is the case, at least with many other infections. You know, the most striking, of course, is something like measles, where once you have a positive test, you're protected for life. But there are other infections where it's at least temporary protection, and even temporary protection would be better than none.
So, Dr. Sachs, you know, one of the things looking ahead a little bit is that I think we're all under the impression and belief that this thing is going to go on for a long, long time. And so there's also this perception that young people are more immune to it than maybe older people. And the idea of sending kids back to school in the fall, how concerned should we be about that?
So it is true that young people typically don't get nearly as sick as the elderly with this infection. And kids are going to have to go back to school, and that's going to be part of reentering society. Yes, it'll be with us for a long time. Some have argued that a certain degree of allowing children to commingle to get this infection is going to be absolutely necessary for us to live our lives. What we don't think is a good idea is completely abandoning the vulnerable people, who are predominantly older and have comorbid medical conditions, because they really can get incredibly sick. And then the occasional young person also gets quite sick, even young adults who don't have any other medical problems. But there is increased recognition among all of us that, yes, we do have to allow society to reopen, and that includes opening schools again.
Dr. Paul Sachs, he's the director of infectious disease at Brigham and Women's Hospital. We discussed last week about, you know, these leagues getting back and maybe using the same stadiums and pod cities and quarantine cities and, you know, using the same arena. And then I didn't even realize this technology existed, but locker rooms that can be disinfected with UV light technology. Okay. And like, it's, you know, you can just zap a locker room, and a sort of a efficient, good way to disinfect locker rooms and make it safe for multiple teams to use one building that have 2-3 games a day, etc. Is that realistic?
So the use of UV light as an anti-infective measure does have a legitimate history, and in particular with the prevention of tuberculosis spread. So it's not complete science fiction, but it isn't likely to be as important as avoiding crowds. I think that's what, you know, crowded areas with poor ventilation, I keep coming back to that. That's really the most dangerous setting for COVID-19. Now, the other thing that all of these plans about reopening sports have included is regular and widely available testing. And I think there's also some progress on that front. If the testing could involve not just a nasopharyngeal swab, but an easier way of testing, like using saliva, that would be a much less invasive way of testing people regularly. And such strategies are being tested now, and I think they'll be available very soon.
Okay, so I was just going to ask you about that, Dr. Sachs, because, again, you've mentioned testing now a couple of times, and at one stage noting that some of these tests are still not as accurate as they need to be or should be. So are we – in some ways it feels like the people who need tests are getting them now, whereas maybe early on they weren't. Mm-hmm. But I also wonder, do we have enough to do the things that we want to do, and have we advanced enough in that regard to this point, or do we need to advance more quickly?
We've made a lot of progress in testing, especially in the hospital side, but there's no doubt that on the community side, we still have a ways to go. I would assume, though, that something like professional baseball, which is of great interest to all of us, would you know, have the financial resources to get the testing available for to resume play, or otherwise it really is not going to be possible. As far as the antibody test I was mentioning before, it really is about looking carefully at people who've had the infection, following their antibody titers, looking carefully at people who were in household contacts and seeing what happens to their antibody, and then seeing how that correlates with potential protection from the infection in the future. And that's going to take a bit longer. And then also getting rid of some of these fly-by-night tests that entered the market, because why not? You know, I think I read somewhere that there for a while recently, there were more antibody tests available for COVID-19 than there were for any other infectious disease. Huh. And that just shows that when there's a market, suddenly a vacuum for a market that suddenly gets filled.
All right, doctor, final question for me. I'm curious, following Sweden, the country, and you can add the state of Georgia if you have any conclusions there or any insights there. You know, these states or countries or areas that have taken a different path, a more aggressive path for opening up society than we have. How do you think those places are doing? How's Sweden doing?
Well, there are a couple of ways to look at what Sweden's doing. The first is to say, what are they trading off? And when you look at their case attack rate and their death rate in Sweden compared to other Northern European countries, they clearly have had worse COVID-19 and worse number of deaths. But they also compared to at least the United States, way less heterogeneity in their population, way less in the way of socioeconomic diversity, and also different healthcare resources available to their population as a whole. So they felt that they could go this approach and they would not overwhelm their healthcare system. As we learned from the example in New York City, it doesn't take much to overwhelm our healthcare system, which has very little slack in it.
What you're saying is they're not a good comp.
They're not a good comp for the United States. They might be a good comp for certain regions in the United States, but right, not a good comparison. And if their approach works, we still don't know. I mean, it remains to be seen. They're hoping that they can move the herd immunity needle closer to them so that they can be more normal. They are advising, by the way, their elderly to maintain social distancing, but they're not closing down society. As far as Georgia goes, all of us worry a lot about Georgia because Georgia is a state with a tremendous amount of socioeconomic diversity and poverty and crowding. And those are the things that have translated into the worst outcomes for COVID-19.
Doctor, we want to thank you again so much for taking the time. We also know you're a sports fan. This isn't a gender-free Friday. So if there's anything that's pent up that you want to complain about in the world of sports, here is now your opportunity.
Okay. I'm totally biased. I absolutely love tennis and miss it enormously, and I would like to see some very good research on whether tennis is actually a high-risk COVID-19 activity.
Hold on. Well, you're the infectious disease guys. You tell me. We should be able to play tennis, right?
You would think.
I noticed that they opened up golf, and I thought, well, tennis has got to be next.
No joke. I mean, do you think some of these golfers, like sticking your hand in the hole to pick up the golf ball, or they can't play tennis because you handle the ball? Are those really things to be concerned about?
You know, I get back to what I said before about what really leads to transmission of this virus is, you know, being in a crowded space that's poorly ventilated, and neither outdoor golf or outdoor tennis strikes me as a very worrisome activity. So just my opinion there.
Love it. Dr. Paul Sachs, thank you again so much for taking the time. We really do appreciate these chats.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're off. Take care.
Okay, again, Dr. Paul Sachs joining us here from the Brigham. That was instructive. I like all that stuff. So you want to weigh in on that? You can, but we're mostly Patriots scheduled because it is schedule day, one of our favorite days of the year. Back to it right after this.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, schedule day. Oh, schedule day. Where fans get to pick wins and losses.
I don't know what the f*** happened. I must have dropped you. Anyway, week 7. Here comes Jimmy G and the Niners to Gillette.
I bet Belichick loses on purpose to make him look good. You know how much he loves Jimmy G. He loves him more than his dog, Nike.
That dog was f***ing awesome at the draft. I love him.
Yeah, he picked great players. Loss!
Week 8, on the road in Buffalo against the Bills.
I ain't buying that Buffalo's ready to win the AFC East. They're still the Bills, and they're still f***ing losers.
But in Buffalo, with that defense, come on.
Fine, but they ain't losing to them at home. Loss!
Week 9, Monday nighter, on the road against the Jets.
Why do they gotta go on the road like this, back-to-back against divisional opponents? This is Goodell again. Goodell's f***ing us.
Yeah, but come on, it's still the Jets.
Win!
Week 10, at home, Sunday night for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
Loss!
Week 11, at the Houston Texans.
I can't believe this stretch out of the bye, bro. This is like the Pats' personal pandemic.
Yeah, I think the medical experts call that the triple P.
Loss!
Week 12, back home against the Arizona Cardinals.
They're not losing to a team from Arizona in late November. They might suck without Brady, but they won't suck that bad. Win!
Look how they're screwing us weeks 13 through 15. 3 straight road games. L.A. Chargers. L.A. Rams on a stupid Thursday night. And then in Miami against the Dolphins.
Yeah, I see that stretch. It f***ing sucks. Just like my wife. I gotta get out of this house, bro. Win! Loss! Loss!
Finally, to wrap up the season, back home, week 16 and 17. Divisional matchups against the Bills and the Jets.
I told you, they're not losing both games to the f***ing Bills. And the Jets suck because they're the Jets. They'll always be the Jets. Loss and a win. And f*** 2020, the worst year ever.
Love it, fellas. Great job. Murray, thank you. Maz, thanks for putting that together. What did that, did you add it all up? What's the record?
7-9. 7-9.
So after the schedule comes out, are you less optimistic or more optimistic?
I'd say about the same. I told you, I thought that they were going to be a 7-9, 8-8 team. And I think, honestly, I'm probably a little more pessimistic because of that stretch in the middle. 6 out of 8 games on the road. And, Mike, I'll double-check it. I think the 2 home games are San Francisco and Baltimore. Like, you know, to me, that is just, is death.
Yeah, that's right.
That is death. That is a brutal stretch.
Back-to-back prime time, too, where you have the Jets. I know it's the Jets, but Monday night, and then it's prime time with the Ravens. That stretch after the bye, I think, is brutal. The way that it's slated, it's like, I knew it was going to be hard anyway, but it looks really rough. So 9-7, 10-6, you know, they squeak into the playoffs, I think, is a success. You know, I'm not expecting much more than that. And I'll tell you this, I actually, now looking at it and the way that it's set up, I think that first game against the Dolphins might be the most important of all, considering that team came in here, screwed the whole plan up at the end of the year. So Brian Flores already showed that he can come in here, lead that team in New England, get a win. This time they're taking on who? Brian Hoyer, Jarrett Stidham, not Tom Brady. And if the Patriots lose that game, and you look at the rest of that slate that month at Seattle, at Kansas City, and maybe that's with fans or without, but just looking at it on paper right now, if you lose that game, you're looking at maybe 1-3 after the first month, and it's the worst start to a season since 1-3 in 2001.
So I think the division games are absolutely crucial. It's still the worst division in football. You still own these teams. You're still taking up space in their heads. Take advantage of it. Win your division games. They have to win those division games. To me, it's the key to the whole season. If they take care of business in their division, if they can eke out 5-1 in their division, I think you have a chance to have a really good season. I really do. I'm more optimistic after looking at this schedule. What does it say about who their quarterback could be? Does it say anything to us? Let's pick that up on the other side with, I promise, your calls. Just a quick 90-second update here from Murray. There are no commercials.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling.com. Helplinema.org.